Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Leona Brando with New Vision Organization and also the host for www.blogtalkradio.com/sheddinglight. We are going to be discussing today, can there be hope for youth among all the chaos amidst? Is it possible for the youth of today to regain their trust in the very people who should be seen as role models, but instead brought them further into a dysfunctional environment full of hate and racism, greed and division? Well, we're going to have a special guest on with us today. Our special guest today is Charlotte Robinson, and Charlotte is a native of Wilmington, North Carolina. Charlotte and her husband, Thurston Robinson, are demonstrating that the youth can regain that trust. Thurston and Charlotte have been outstanding advocates in their community as well as their country. Both have served in the U.S. military, and they have been networking as well as working with various community agencies, organizations, groups, and individuals. As a nurse herself, Charlotte is a wife and a mother. Her passion has been to work with the youth in her community. Thus, she and her husband founded a nonprofit 501c3 foundation called Angel Home Healthcare, T.J. Robinson Life Center. And the mission of the center is to provide the community and the surrounding areas with a year-round sports facility, which is dedicated to promoting life skills, teamwork, and fitness while instilling integrity and respect in today's youth. Let's hear from Charlotte directly on her mission and goals to bring hope and success to our youth of today, which is very, very much needed. There are very few role models these days, and a couple like Charlotte and her husband, Thurston, are what's much needed, not only in her community and surrounding areas, but around the country. So we'd like to introduce to you right now Charlotte Robinson. Charlotte, would you like to say a little bit about yourself and then explain what your organization is all about? Hello? Charlotte, are you on with us? Charlotte? Oh, we're having problems again. Let's see if we can get Charlotte on the line. Charlotte, are you on with us?
I am on. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hello.
Can you speak a little bit about yourself and what your organization is about?
I can. My husband and I are service-disabled veterans here in Fayetteville-Fort Bragg area. Our organization, the T.J. Robinson Life Center, was started about 30 years ago. Our vision is to promote life skills and we've created several programs in the community and surrounding areas. So our vision is to actually have a place where kids can come to. They can get the life skills. We have select programs set up for them, and they can get the things that they're not getting at home. So that is the vision of the T.J. Robinson Life Center.
Awesome, awesome. Now tell us, some of the kids that you're used to working with, are they from single-parent homes? Are they from two-parent homes? What type of kids actually are you working with of the adolescents?
Actually, Leona, the slogan that people use today, at-risk youth, as far as we're concerned, all kids in today's society are at-risk kids.
Exactly.
We have kids coming from single-parent homes. We have kids coming from both parents in the home. We have all sorts of kids that we've worked with over the last 30 years.
And that's true. All kids today are at risk, especially with the dysfunction that we have in the country and around the world.
Right. So, yeah.
When did you found your organization?
Actually, the organization came about, again, like I said, about 30 years ago. My husband and I have been working with youth in our community. What we found is that we bring kids in through sports, through basketball mainly, because my husband was a great basketball player in high school and in the military. We bring kids in through sports, And once we have their attention, Leona, we've been able to introduce them to things that they haven't been introduced to before. For instance, our motto is always, most kids, there's not a lot of bad kids. There are a lot of kids that are environmentally handicapped. They do what they know to do. So we bring them in through sports, and then we raise their expectations. And I will tell you, over 30 years, we're yet to have a kid to come in our program where we said certain things. For instance, we said, you have to now become an AB student. I don't care if this kid was a DF student. We said things like, you have to have no disciplinary issues at home or at school. Even if this kid was being suspended on a regular basis, fighting their mom, we've never had a kid to come into our program that did not meet the expectations that were set for them by the organization. So what that means to us is this. A lot of kids are environmentally handicapped, and they meet the expectations set for the people around them, whether that's their parents, their school, their community. If you don't expect anything from them, more than likely you're going to get nothing from them.
Exactly. But, you know, there are kids that they're so used to being rejected that they almost like set themselves up at times to be rejected. You know, it's like kids in foster care. They have been shuffled around from foster home to foster home. And sometimes when they get into a good home, they will do everything to destroy it because they're so used to being shifted. And it does take people like yourselves with a heart, with compassion, with understanding. You know, that's all kids today want. They want the adults to understand what they're going through. And I think what you're doing is an awesome, awesome thing. And I really, if anyone wants to help in any area at all, how would they get in touch with you? How would they contact you? Do you have a website?
Leona, this is such a powerful mission, and it's just not here locally in Cumberland County, Fayetteville. This is a program that we plan to take worldwide because there's not a neighborhood where a program like we've developed is not needed. I always say the building that we're building is a 57,000-square-foot community center / sports complex, but that's just the building. The concept of how to reach a kid and save a kid and love them in a submission is something that we've been successful at for 30 years. If your audience would go to the tjrlifecenter.org, that's our website, you'd be able to get the information. You can actually see the building we're trying to build in the area. And something else I'm very excited about is we've just been designated as a CDC, which is a Community Development Corporation for prison reform for the whole state of North Carolina. I am an entrepreneur myself. And I know in our area, it's a big deal if you come in, if you were in prison, even if you had a misdemeanor or a felony, the first thing your employer is going to ask you is, do you have a record? Well, in my mind, if I've had a record, I've served my time, then it's over. But if you think about it, I don't care if you have a 1 year, if you stole something, it is a life sentence. So what we've developed is a program in our area where we're working directly with the police department and the juvenile delinquent department, and what we're asking them to do is turn that kid over to us. Let us have some people in the community. Let us work with them. Let us develop what we're calling a POC, a plan of correction. Give us 4, 6, maybe 8 weeks, and let us represent this kid to you so this kid will not have a record because it is hard to get rid of a record once you have one. Then you have the prison population. You go in. You serve 5 years, you serve 7 years, you're a felon. You come out, that's it. What are they to do but to do what they know to do if there's not somebody set up that is saying, okay, come on, let me give you some skills, some job skills, let me help you. You know, it's real easy for people to say this is what you have to do, but there's nobody with open arms for the prisoners when they come out of prison. So we've developed a program so that we're not asking them to go get a job. We're training them on site, and we're creating corporations so that we can hire them ourselves. So this thing is so exciting and such a big deal. So if your audience will go to www.tjrlifecenter.org, you'll see what we're trying to do in this area, and call us, give us your ideas, and we would love for the whole world to join us in making this thing something that's happening all over the country.
And you do have a phone number on your website for them to contact you?
We do. We
okay.
do have a phone number on the website.
Now, how do you find, with the police working with you, how do you find their, you know, their involvement? Is it a sincere coordination, or is it do you find them willingly helping in that area? Because I know so many young people in the streets today are really afraid of the police. They're afraid to even talk to them. And these are the things that are happening all over the country. So how does the police work with you and with the goal that you have for the youth?
Well, you know, you would not be surprised how many times we've met with police officers and the chief of police, and we've gotten the thing that, you know, those kids just want to be that way. No kid wants to hurt and be in pain like these kids are, because, you know, a kid that will hurt another kid is a kid that's hurt, somebody has hurt that particular kid. So what we've had in this area is what we tell the police, we start off and we say, listen, we have a 30-year proven record. These are the at-risk youth that we've dealt with for the last 30 years. These were kids that were charged with things like having guns, kids that were being suspended on a regular basis. And these are now kids, if you look on our website, there's a testimonies from four kids that were in very, very bad situations. One of them is working on his master's degree. One of them is HVAC tech. One of them is a soldier in the United States Army. And the other one is an entrepreneur. Now, these kids were at the crossroads when they got into our program. Now they're all productive citizens, which is all that we want to have happen. So locally, our police department, as they've gotten involved and seen these kids, seen the history of the children that's been in the program, then so far so good with their involvement in working with the kids.
Now you say, too, you work with the Department of Youth Services, or do they work with you at all in referring kids to your program or being involved in any way? Because I know there's a lot of kids that are in the Department of Youth Services around the country, and these kids could benefit from a program like yours as well when they're ready to be released.
That is correct.
Yeah.
We have developed a program where we're working with them, release this kid to us. You, like you said earlier in the program about foster care, just imagine being a five-year-old and when you're 5 to 7 and your mom don't want you or can't. You know, the mom maybe be sick, and, you know, and she can't take care of you. And you're living with these strangers, and you feel like an outcast, and everything you own is in a bag, and you're going from place to place. Imagine what it's going to take to reach a kid like that. It's going to take constant love and being in that kid life. I call my husband the at-risk kid whisperer. I've never seen anybody with the ability to reach a kid that's lost like he is. But what I do know what works, and what works is for us to be constantly involved in their life. Leona, we don't just deal with the kid. We deal with the kid's family. We know where you go to church. We know your pastor. We know your school. We know your sisters. We know your brother. We know your grandmother. We get all in, we invade their space so that they don't go back to an environment. Right.
That's exactly what's needed, extensive treatment. And that's why I say the prisons are full. There's over 2.5 million prisoners in this country. The prisons are full. And one of the things I've noticed and I've learned and I personally know is that a lot of these prisoners were victims themselves as children. They were victims without fathers, without siblings, without parents. A lot of them grew up in the streets. A lot of them had breakdowns. Addiction and mental health is an epidemic in this country. And without that kind of love that you and your husband share, without that kind of passion, it can't be done. And I say all the time, they need to do away with prisons. They need to establish more long-term residential facilities to address mental health issues and addictions. Also, to work with the families, as you say you do. That's what needs to be done. You cannot bring a family together if you're only working with the child or the parent. It has to be a coordination of it. And I think this is excellent what you're doing.
And think
and
about
how
when
do you,
you
find the
you
parents?
Speak of
are the parent or the parents, are they willingly cooperative when it comes to working with you and working with the issues around their kids?
We have actually not had a parent that have not pretty much turned their kid over to us and followed the plan of care that we put in place. We've yet to run into a parent like that. And, again, this program has been going on forever. But when you think about mental health, think about a kid. What kid that's been through living in an environment like some of these kids live in, they have PTSD, and they're not being treated for that. They're like, oh, they're a bad kid. And once they get that label, think about a fifth grader that cuts up in school and now they got it in his record. That kid is marked all the way through school. So that we set them up for failure, and I agree with you about the prison system. What we do is we take them off the street and house them, make them more – they're angrier when they get out, and then you don't have anything for them to do that's different than when they went in. And then we say, why are they killing each other? They don't even really know anything else to do. They don't know,
you know,
anything else to do.
I feel the dysfunction is not with the kids and not with the families in a lot of ways. It's with the providers. It's with those in the community, the teachers. It's with teachers. I will say a lot of teachers are compassionate and really trying to do the best they can with the students. But then there's some that aren't. They're not trying to. And I remember years ago, I had three brothers that were all discouraged in school, and actually, they all left. Three of them left in the 11th grade, and they joined the Marines. That's what made them, not the schools, not the teachers. They didn't encourage them to try. They encouraged them to leave. And in the prisons, there's so much funding going out there for the prisoners, and yet it's the staff that are getting the benefits. The staff are preventing a lot of the prisoners from taking these programs and discouraging them, setting them up, you know, depriving them, provoking, harassing, and abusing. And to me, even the churches, the priests, the pastors, the imams, the rabbis, they all need to get more involved. They're collecting money. Yeah. It's somebody once said to me, the churches are about entertainment. They get the money and they put on a show. Let's see these people get out in the community and work with organizations and foundations like yours, because you could benefit from having them on your side, encouraging people to go to programs like yours.
You're exactly right. And when you go to our website, you'll see this has been a struggle, Leona. My husband and I invested every penny we had into starting this project. And we've actually had pushback from the community leaders. And we were like, I mean, it's hard to understand why you would not want to do a prevention program like this. We actually went up for a grant and was turned down, a $500,000 grant that was later sent to the prison. So the goal was, let's make this prison bigger, but let's don't do anything with this prevention. We say the same thing. Where are the churches? With as many churches that we have, just in our local community, 550 to be exact, why are they hurting people if we have the churches? The schools, we had an eighth grade little boy tell us that he felt like he was in prison and being in school. Because if you think about a teacher, they're not getting paid a lot, so their patience is not there. And then you're dealing with a kid who's angry, some of them have mental health issues, and so that's not going well. And the kids say, well, I feel like I'm in prison. I got a uniform on. They tell me what time to eat. They take us to the yard to play, and then they bring us back. So that mindset is being instilled in them right then. So with this program that we're trying to do, we're asking for help. Help us get this model program up. And once we get this up, this is something that we can recreate, franchise all over the world, because it's something that's needed. There's hurting kids everywhere.
Exactly. I will say one thing. There are so many philanthropists out in the country and the world today who are willing to donate money to people like yourselves that are running an organization benefiting children. And I'm sure if you type in philanthropist, for organizations or foundations for youth, you'll come up with a lot of them. There's so much, especially with the 501c3. A 501c4 is more flexible, because you can actually campaign for politicians that are in for your cause. But 501c3, faith-based, there's so much funding out there that you can get. It's just a lot of research that needs to be done. But when you get a chance, check out philanthropist for the youth.
Okay.
For people, for the youth. And I can believe that you and your husband have invested a lot of money in doing what you're doing, because sometimes that's what happens. We try so hard to do something positive and to make sure it works that we sometimes put in everything we have. But you know something, God sees it, and God knows. And that's where it'll benefit. One of these days it'll benefit all around. But I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that will be listening, that will be hearing what you're all about, and will probably be contacting you to see of ways that they can help. In North Carolina, there's a lot of advocates out there. There's a lot of people out there that probably would be willing to help as well. But what I'd like to do is have you on again sometime in the next couple of weeks, so you can talk more about it and let us know what's, you know, what has transpired since we spoke today.
Well, I would. Again, let me just thank you for having me on now, and I would love to come back to speak about our, we'll call it our Jesus Passion Project.
I'll tell you, you're amazing. From what I've read in your bio and everything else, you and your husband have done so much good, and you are amazing to be a nurse, to be a military, a veteran, to be a wife, a mother, and to have a passion like this for the youth. And I just enjoy listening to what you have to say about your program, and it's really awesome. So
what are
some of the other things that that you have been doing, actually, with the youth?
Well, we have the programs that that I told you about, and another thing too is, like I said, we've used sports. I mean, any research that you use have always come back with the same thing. Sports is the one thing that has been positive in reaching kids. So a part of our center is going to be a sports complex. My husband is an AAU basketball coach, and he has won national titles. And I always say this, with at-risk youth. He's taken the at-risk youth and went down to Florida, and four times he's won a national title. When you win a national title, that means you start with 1,000 teams and end up being number one. We've done that four times with boys, and just in July, he did it with eighth-grade girls. So that facility will also turn into a sports complex on the weekend where we will host regional tournaments. Now, what that means to the community is that's economic development dollars. We're going to have regional tournaments. That's 200 and 300 teams coming to Fayetteville, North Carolina, coming from all up and down the East Coast. But what it's also going to do is create 55 to 75 jobs for those at-risk teenagers and youth that are in our area. For those kids that can't get a job, can't get hired, we're going to hire them, like I said, ourselves. So it's an amazing project. Again, like I said, if you go to tjrlifecenter.org, you'll be able to actually see the building, see a little bio from some of the kids, some of the testimonies, and see some of the programs that we are working with right now.
Awesome. Now, let me ask you, the teachers, actually, talking about teachers, have there been any teachers that have been involved in helping or contributing in any way as far as, you know, referring kids to you or actually offering to help maybe in spare time to help with the volunteer work?
We actually do have some teachers on board. Yes, we do.
Good.
We have some teachers that's given us, you know, some curriculum and helping us write some. We got a before and after school program where we'll be working with the kids. And another thing is, too, we actually have Fayetteville State University chancellor and the chancellor's wife that are heavily involved in this program. We develop a program. So Cumberland County has 15 high schools, and we have a large number of kids getting suspended from school because we are actually being ranked one of the lowest rating schools in the state of North Carolina. So what we developed was a program so if a kid gets suspended from school, then we have one of Fayetteville State University's student teachers come in. They need community hours. We got a person from the Council of Older Adults, a senior, with all that wisdom just, you know, sitting there. So we have that kid sitting between a student teacher and a senior, and that kid is out of trouble. Mom can go to work. That kid is in a safe place. That kid is going to get his work. So when he goes back to school, whether he's suspended 3, 5, or 7 days, he's not behind. So we find that to be a great program also because everybody wins from that.
That is good. That is. Also, have you ever reached out to any organization, any businesses for maybe some equipment for the kids? To have some computers donated or some athletic equipment or whatever to have it donated to your foundation?
You know what? I think that I've been working so hard, Leona, for the last 7 years. I only know what I know, and I've done all of that. And the one thing that we were missing because we have been so involved with the kids for the 30 days is that that marketing advertising thing, that networking piece. That's something that our organization has, you know, we don't have that person in place. So I've reached out to Fairfax State University, who will give us computers and blackboards for the STEMS program that we will have for the after-school program. But equipment, that would be awesome. If there's somebody out there that knows somebody who can donate some equipment for the center, that would be awesome.
Well, you know, they have the United Way and Volunteer Match, a lot of these nonprofit organizations that have students that are going to universities to become social workers or psychologists, to become criminal justice workers. A lot of them are looking to do some volunteering. And if you, I don't know if you have registered your organization with United Way or with Volunteer Match, but if you did or if you do, you can actually put down the type of volunteers you need, grant writers or law students or whatever it might be. And you can also request through recycles.org. They have, it's for nonprofit organizations where they have people who are going out of business or people that have office equipment that they want to donate, and register with recycles.org. And recycles.org, you can put in, if there's something that you want that's in your state, office equipment or whatever it might be in your state, you can actually put in for it. And if the person that's donating it chooses to donate it to you, they will contact you either by phone or email or whatever to let you know.
Okay.
The only thing is you would have to pick it up yourself. But they have all kinds of equipment. So that might be a resource you might want to keep in mind. It's recycles.org. And the United Way for Volunteers, Volunteer Match. There's a lot of them out there, idealistic.org, things, places like that, that would probably be a very good asset or resource for your organization.
Well, thank you so much. I will certainly look into every last one of those.
And actually, the government in your state and all states, I don't know about now, but they used to have an area for people that were doing work on a volunteer basis or as a nonprofit, where they actually registered them with the government to do a lot of things too, and to get any kind of grants that they might have that are for that particular cause.
Okay, I will certainly look into it.
Well, again, it's been great talking with you. It's been great hearing about your nonprofit, and there's not too many of them out there. I do know that there's a lot of football players and baseball players that have organizations, and a lot of them for the youth, so it might be worth connecting with them as well.
Okay. I appreciate any ideas. We'll certainly take a look at it.
Okay, Charlotte, I want to thank you once again for being on the show. And again, we'll be in touch, and you and I will be in touch, and we can plan something maybe in another couple of weeks to have you back on and let us know if there's any progress or anyone that's been interested in working with you or helping out in any way.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Again, that's tjrlifecenter.org. Go to the website, share it, like it, and give us any comments, any suggestions that you may have. Help us complete this project. Thank you so much for having me.
Are you also on Facebook?
We are on Facebook.
Okay, and what would it be under on Facebook, under T.J. Robinson Life Center?
Let me just double-check that for you.
We may get disconnected. You can bring it up the next time, but in the meantime, you can give me a call and let me know, and then we can take it from there. Once again, everyone, we're going to be signing off. Again, it's Charlotte Robinson, and it is T.J. Robinson's Life Center, and she, Charlotte and her husband Thurston, founded this organization and can use all the help they can get. She has given you her website, and I hope you will all go and check it out. Thank you once again, Charlotte. It's been a pleasure.
You too. Thank you so much.
And we will be in touch.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're signing off now, everyone. It's been a pleasure having you listening in on us. Bye-bye.